Welcome to the Producers Journal podcast. My name is Derek. Thank you for joining me today. This episode is presented to you by Shelby Row Productions and sponsored by Patreon. Click on the Patreon link in the description area and find a tier that works for you, and that would be the best way to support this podcast. I would appreciate that. Also, check us out on YouTube. I'm going to be talking about the YouTube channel a little bit here. But this is also on YouTube in audiogram form, so that's another great way to support this podcast, because that's a monetized channel. So when you listen to an episode there, it counts as a view, which goes a long way for me, so I would appreciate that. Now let's get going here. So today I want to talk about working in autopilot and the reason behind why I want to talk about that. It was actually brought to me an idea, or this came to me through a comment on the YouTube channel that was specific to my last episode, which was Trial by Fire. And then I want to share an anecdote or a story from my past that relates heavily to that. But let's give some more updates. Because I actually just listened to last week's episode. I try to listen to everything as a way to hopefully get better. But because I'm sort of also doing these in timeline, where I'm talking real-time stuff and studio updates and everything, it's good for me to know where I last left off, because a lot happens in between episodes and in between recording sessions. So the Trial by Fire episode talked about me working with my friend Chris Camp, and how much I learned and all the mistakes I made, and which would ultimately make it better for my first paid client, Stacy Dodd, first paying client. And he was supposed to come in on a day. He had to reschedule. It happened to be that next day I worked with Chris, where I fumbled and made mistakes and gave me an opportunity to test different lighting and figure things out a little more. So then come Monday, 2 days ago, as I record this, my man Stacy showed up and we did a great little video. Was it perfect? No, I'm still not totally happy with how it looks, but it looks a lot better than anything else I've done. I also tweaked the backlighting a little bit. I actually took one of my backlights, the flood panels that I have on the floor going up the back wall, actually put one on my podcast table behind Stacy and faced towards the camera. I dimmed it down a little bit, but that really helped things pop. So now it's like a brighter backlights. Like Chris, I had him standing in front of my desk panels, but this time I used my phone in high def, which is something I want to do for Chris next time. But that was great. It was a monumental day, Monday, my first paying client because of the studio. I've mentioned before, I've had little local opportunities now, but none of it needed the studio. So now the studio brought in some rev. So that's always fun. And then also, look, when that starts happening, he has other people he works with. He wants to spread the word for me. He wants to help me out. Hey, something may come of that. I've learned to not lean on those things heavily and let things just kind of organically happen. But word of mouth will increase and will build more steam the more and more I work with people in the studio, because they're walking into a professional situation, which brings me to the next update. And that is the actual podcast station. My dear friend, Andrew Michael, my engineer, hooked up with me yesterday. Come to find out, he listens to this podcast. So, Andrew, thank you for all that you do, even though you made fun of my AV table and you are upset that I did not consult with you before buying my Allen and Heath board. Sir, I am very sorry for that. You know I love you. So we hooked up yesterday on FaceTime, and we dialed in my other Rodecaster and Reaper on my laptop. We had already had everything set up a year ago, but it was just a matter of blowing the dust off. I had to kind of relearn how it all worked, but man, it was great. Just a few tweaks, and it's up and going. So that kind of motivated me to now move into that next phase. Now, no excuses. The audio side of my podcast world, my little podcast station, the podcast corner, whatever you want to call it, is up and running. No excuse. Then I was like, okay, well, now let's think of where I really want this to live. And the lighting and the mounting of cameras has been the thorn in the side of my ass for a while. The gentleman and my friend, Stephen Michael, who is helping me with those things, is out of town for a couple weeks. And I've also had just a lot of time to think about, you know, how I want this to look. And as usual, I'm overthinking things. And I was adamant about making it a three-camera podcast. One camera up the middle for both, you know, profile shots of both together, and then each participant getting their own camera. Well, my room is limiting. I'm limited to my room because one wall is just a giant window, so you can't mount anything from that wall. And then I got a back door, which eats up space. It's a smaller room, and I'm limited. And what we were trying to accomplish, I think, would have been a bigger headache than it needed to be. And I'm not totally writing off the ideas that we have. I will talk to Steven when he gets back. But I had to make some executive decisions and really just move on and make it how I originally envisioned it, adding everything he's done for me too now with the lighting and what I've learned with that. So I moved the table, got the mic set up with the boom arms, got the Rodecaster set. I have a little side table for the laptop. It looks amazing. And now I'm tweaking lighting again. And what I discovered is I want to try a ring light and just one camera. Just do a straight shot, profile shot, right down the middle to get things going and start testing things with friends to throw on my YouTube channel. But I like the thought of a nice ring light because it's giving that front light and it goes with the camera. That's what makes the ring lights great, is it's lighting for your camera all attached together. And hopefully, maybe if it really works out well, I'm going to get two more, and then maybe I can put those tripods in the right spot. So now I got the three camera deal and I'm not worried about mounting cameras. It's okay. It's a long time ago, it was very, you know, clear to me that in order for me to operate in this room, there is always going to be a level of tear down and set up. Tear down, set up. The audio side of things should be good to go, unless, you know, I have a situation where I'm interviewing more than one person, got to tweak it. But I have to be flexible, and it's okay if I have to mount or put cameras up on a tripod and try things out. So I bought a cheapy piece of crap ring light at Walmart just to try it out. It's the first time I've ever touched one. And I knew that there was a good chance I was going to return it, but it was just an opportunity for me to play around with one. And I didn't like it. It didn't have really any options for mounting a camera. It was really just this bendy arm for a phone. And But it gave me better ideas, and now I knew exactly what I wanted. And I found a great ring light on Amazon that is just better in all the ways possible. And also it comes with batteries, like chargeable battery packs, which would be awesome because then I don't have to friggin' take up another outlet. I mean, outlets are very valuable to me now. I only have a few available because it's just so much stuff to plug in around here. But so now I'm waiting for that ring light, and that's where things stand with that. So now let's talk about being an autopilot. Being in autopilot, not being a or an autopilot. And this hit me this morning. I actually wanted to talk about something different than this. But early this morning, probably around 5:30, because I work a little bit before my daughter gets up for school. And I read a comment. I got an email with a new comment that was for one of the episodes, my last episode. I don't know why I'm having trouble talking right now. Maybe it's because it's been a crazy day. Haven't been able to get anything done, just running around. And then I added that to that a venti iced coffee from Starbucks. So my heart rate's probably maxed out right now. So I read this comment. Again, it was for last episode, which was titled Trial by Fire. And I'll read the comment and then take it from there. He said, Georgie said, in a year's time, you'll be FBW, flying by wire, aka on autopilot, LOL. I'm very glad he explained what FBW stands for. I would not have had any clue what that means. I've never heard the term fly by wire. I get it. Never heard that before. But autopilot is a term I've been using for a long, 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 long time. And when I first read that, I kind of chuckled. You know, he's right. Yeah, you know, that's why you do things and try to get better at it so things get easier as they go. Then I'm like, I actually don't want that. That means nothing's growing. If I've learned anything in the last 4 years, autopilot equals complacency, just no growth. And I'm not just only talking about revenue or growing the number of clients, growing a team. That's all part of it. But growing as a person, just growing in life. No one should live in autopilot. You want to make things comfortable. Yes, that's why you come up with systems, you come up with schedules, you come up with plans. You want to enjoy your life? Sure. So you definitely want to simplify things and create consistency for your life. But if you fall into the autopilot world, now you're not growing. And I think it's important to grow. If I would have kept drinking, and I don't know if I've talked much about this, but I quit drinking in 2014. And that was after years of abuse and I wasn't living in so much autopilot. I was just like a derelict in my own way. Not really taking any chances in life. Path of least resistance. But I quit drinking and completely started a new path. And it doesn't happen overnight. 8 years later, here I am and doing what I'm doing now. But it was a journey. And it was constant reminders of you got to stand up and plow through the next fear. All right. You're feeling anxious and fearful right now because you have to make a decision. Instead of running away from that decision, lean into it and choose the harder path. And it did well for me. Wasn't always easy, but it got me to where I am now. And of course now, dialing in specifically to the business, In January of 2018, I had one client and I was barely editing a podcast on Audacity. Didn't even know how to put a podcast on iTunes. And then here I am now. That didn't happen from being complacent and just path of least resistance. Build a system till it's comfortable and then never move from it. If I would have done that, I wouldn't be here with this right now. It would have just been another little side hustle that would have kind of fizzled out and I'd still be a broke musician. But I knew that I needed to continue to grow. And in order to do that, I built a team and blah, blah, blah. I've told the story. You can't do that while in autopilot. So when I read that comment from him, I was like, I get it. I get his sentiment. It's funny. I get it. But I don't want that. That was a good reminder. No, I don't want to be an autopilot because that's detrimental. So let me give you a real life, you know, analogy to this, or what autopilot means to me in terms of my history as a musician. So I started playing guitar when I was 13, I think. My grandfather taught me a few chords. It wasn't until I was 16 that I started playing in a high school band. And I graduated in 99. Come 2000, how old was I? 21? I can't remember. Early 20s. I graduated college in 99. Year 2000, I decided I wanted to be a professional musician. I wanted to take that next step and earn money by playing my bass guitar. And for the next 4 years, I was lucky to make $50 a month here and there. But I never played for free. And I just kept growing from that and hustling. That's not really the point of the story, but I'm trying to give you some context that things inevitably built up to the point where I moved to Nashville in October of 2005. And by luck, circumstance, and abilities as a player, I landed a gig in January of 06. And at the time, the band was called Buck Wild, and it was a full-time casino band, a casino variety band that just circles the country and plays in the higher-end casinos. And I was very blessed to get that job. It was a full-time music gig, and it was awesome. And I did it for a span of 5 years with some breaks in the middle there. So the reason why I bring this up is when you break into the casino side of things as a full-time musician, you play a lot. You're playing four nights in a row in one casino, packing up, heading to the next casino, four to five nights at that place, next. And in 2006, I was on the road 45 weeks, played, I think, around 200 shows in 1 year. That's a lot of stage time. The benefit is, man, you get so much better, so much faster. I mean, you are in hyper speed. You're getting so many reps to not only learn how to play songs, but how to stand on a stage and just how things work in the music business. The band gets tight. Things just gel. And you get to a point where the songs start playing themselves. Now you're getting a little close to that autopilot area, but there is that moment and phase where the songs are playing themselves and it's a positive because all the players in the band are just feeling the song, feeling the music rather than thinking about what they need to play, thinking about the chorus coming up, thinking about does the bridge go to the minor six? What's going on? It's all there, everyone's fluid, feeling the music. That's the peak. That's when a band is going to sound the best. But if you're not careful and you don't constantly push to learn new songs, you end up playing the same 60 to 70 songs over and over and over and over. And some of these songs are nightly songs. I had to play Brick House and play that funky music 4 to 5 times a week for 45 weeks for 5 years. talk about playing itself. You fall into autopilot, and you can as an individual, and you can as a band. And it happened, and it can be detrimental because you might, then you're going to start making mistakes. That's the point of all this, is when you're in autopilot, you start making mistakes because you're not focused. I'm not feeling it anymore. I'm just playing through everything. All right, note to the next note, to the next note, to the next song, to the next night. When am I going home? I can't wait for tonight's set to be over so I can go to the bar and start drinking. The music becomes secondary. The first priority, top priority, is the party, the hang. That's why now you're out there doing it. And the music suffers. You forget parts. You'll be in the middle of a song and you're like, oh no. Are we leading into the second chorus or the third chorus? And that matters because some songs, those choruses will be different. So crap, which one will be going into? And then you take a guess and then you go into the wrong chorus. So you hit the wrong chords because you think it's chorus 2 when you're supposed to be going into chorus 3, blah, 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 blah. You make a mistake. Everyone looks at you and you feel like an asshole because you made a big mistake that just sounded bad. All because you weren't focused, all because you were in autopilot, ultimately because you weren't challenging yourself. I had the fortune to tour the last year of my casino phase of my life, which was 2010. I got to tour with my good buddy, Shane Hoskins, on drums. And he and I just peanut butter and jelly, both on stage and in life. Good friends, really knew how to play together. To the point where we got too good because we were playing so many nights, so many reps that we got too good. And I don't mean that in an arrogant way. We just got to a point of complacency and autopilot and boredom and just suffered from that. But he and I used to have this little joke. We used to call it balancing your checkbook. You're thinking, what? The hell does that mean? Here's what it means. He and I would make mistakes that no one else would ever know. If I hit a bad note, everybody knows it. But if I miss a beat rhythmically, no one's going to notice that. Same with Shane on drums. If he misses a beat in the kick drum, but he's still in time, you know, it's still the song, no one's going to notice that. But we were so dialed in together that we would kind of just gaze at one another. If he missed a kick or I missed a beat on the bass, we just kind of look at each other, wink, chuckle, and we called it balancing our checkbook. Because more often than not, when either he or myself would make that mistake, it's because we're thinking about bills to pay, thinking about the check coming in on Friday, thinking of the clothes we might want to buy. And I don't mean like we're excited about making all this crazy amount of money and what am I going to do with all this money coming in on Friday? No, it was a job and we had bills to pay and it was still stressful, just like anything else. And we would pantomime each other in between songs. We kind of look at each other again and we would pretend that we're writing a check in our hand, like the checkbook's in our left hand, get the pen in the right hand and pantomiming, writing a check. And that was our joke. And if I was writing the check, that was my way of telling Shane, yeah, dude, I missed that part because of autopilot and vice versa. And it was a little thing that he and I did. The positive of that is we were that good purely because of the reps. You play the same 60 to 70 songs like that. They just play themselves. You get every little part worked out. It's like rehearsing 5 nights a week. It just happens. But, you know, when you, what I call make a clam drop a clam is another term, especially for bass players. If I had a bad note, and now I'm screwing with the harmony of the melodic form of the music, and I hit a wrong chord, root note of the wrong chord, everyone hears it. Like the bass can be kind of lost in the mix, and it's just, it might be a room where you can't really hear the bass very good. It's like a big, echoey, lively room. But man, I hit a wrong note. That's all you can hear. It just shoots out. And it's just the biggest fart sound. And it's embarrassing. So when I made those kind of mistakes because of being an autopilot, man, that sucked. Because now everyone's looking at you. And honestly, like the band leader's going to get upset, even though band leaders make mistakes. Everyone makes mistakes. And everyone else in this band I'm talking about absolutely suffered from autopilot too. It's just how it was. But eventually you would learn new songs that kind of trigger you. Or, you know, at that time, in order for me to gain that interest and excitement to play that music again, it often meant alcohol. That's right. I played many a shows influenced by Liquid Courage, which was not good. And that is another story. Moral of this story is don't drink like that, but also challenge yourself. Try new things. And the minute you feel too comfortable, things are going too smoothly, think about it and realize, you know what? I'm in autopilot right now. And that means there's no positive growth. So find something that terrifies you and do it. Give it a try and be absolutely cool with failing, because now you're at least you're trying to better yourself as a person or as a business owner and everything in between. Words to live by. ShelbyRowProductions.com. Check me out at ShelbyRowProductions LLC on Instagram. Also, click my Patreon link. That's a great way to support me in this podcast. And check out the YouTube channel. We have a Linktree link in the description area that will take you everywhere in all the places that not only this podcast lies, but also my business stuff. In there, you'll find the YouTube channel. Go check it out. And check out this podcast on that channel. Again, it's a monetized channel, so that also is a great way to support this. And to Andrew Michael, if you've made it this far, thank you for listening. And thank you for being grossly unpaid, or not grossly unpaid. What's the term I'm looking for? Underpaid. I know I've been underpaying you for a long time because you're a genius. And the song is running out. So that means I gotta shut the hell up. Thanks, Andrew. Thanks to everyone listening. Talk to you later.